What's up, everyone? It is Denise Salcedo. Welcome back to the channel. I have another very awesome interview in store for you here today. My guest is none other than former two-time Impact Wrestling Knockouts champion, Deonna Purrazzo. What's up, Deonna?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's so nice to see you once again. I feel like the last time we spoke, you were already doing all of these incredible things with your career. But honestly, I feel like since then you have really leveled it up and even really just cemented yourself as honestly one of the best women's wrestlers in the world.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much.
I'm like, no, it's true though. Like, honestly, like, I feel like when we're talking about the conversation of the women who are killing it right now, your name is definitely high up there and ranked amongst, you know, many people bring you up. How does that feel to kind of have that recognition?
It feels amazing. I think that I've worked, you know, the end of this of 2022 will be 10 years that I've been wrestling. So after all this time and all of the ups and the downs that I've been through in the past couple years, it feels amazing. It's everything I dreamt of from when I was a little kid of what I wanted to do in wrestling. And over the last 2 years, I've been able to do it. So like I've just rode this wave of cloud nine for the last 2 years, really.
That's so cool. But it's like, yeah, you like all your work has really culminated up until this point right now. And it's only going like from here to like another level. It's just going to keep growing and growing. So I do want to ask you, because as I was, you know, preparing for this interview, I was like, oh my God, there's so much to talk about with Deonna. Like, where do I even begin? But one of the things that I do want to talk about is that I honestly think that there is an argument to be made that you are the face of Impact Wrestling. So kind of hearing that and obviously knowing that, like, feeling that firsthand, I kind of want to get your thoughts on that and also the responsibilities that come with being, you know, the very top of a certain of a wrestling promotion.
I mean, I have said it the last couple days that championship or not, I am the face of Impact Wrestling. I mean, there's something to, you know, we just did Hard to Kill on Saturday. We had TV tapings on Sunday. And then Monday I was on a plane to come to Fort Lauderdale for the last 2 days of media. So the fact that I'm consistently asked to be on these media calls and do these media tours and you know, do meet and greets at the live events and things like that just shows how much Impact has invested in me and the value they see in me, whether I am the Knockouts champion or not. There's a reason that Mickie James isn't here today, and there's a reason Tasha Steelz isn't here today, but we'll just leave that for everyone else's imagination.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, honestly, because it's true. Like, I like the first time we spoke, we're like, oh, you're doing all these great things, you know, you're Impact Knockouts champion, but now it's like, okay, like, even with or without the bout, you are the person that is out here, you know, doing these media calls and doing these things and whatnot. So let's kind of talk about, I do want to talk about your schedule, because obviously, and I know that you guys are going to begin touring, so I know we'll circle to that in just a bit, but I want to talk about your schedule, because you're doing all of these shows, you're doing all of these things, and then on top of that, you're still building this brand. You know, I see all of the great photo shoots that you do on Instagram, so you're building a brand, you know, you're touring. What's it like for you? What is your current week look like?
Oh gosh, well, this week has been the most hectic week of my life, but you know, typically during the weeks, I'm just at home with Steve and our dogs. And it's easier to schedule the photo shoots or to schedule, you know, whether it's I need to see the chiropractor or get a massage or go to the dentist. Like, those things, I think, during the week are quite easier than most weeks. But yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to find who I am also outside of wrestling. And with that, you know, it is the bikini photo shoots. And, you know, to be in Sports Illustrated Swim would be a dream come true for me. You know, I am in college still. So it's just trying to get my discussions posted at the right times and make sure my papers are turned in at the right time. So I feel like during the weeks, I'm not as busy. But on the weekends, that's when Impact is now touring twice a month, most months. I still can do lots of indie stuff or conventions and things like that. So, you know, Thursday to Sunday, it picks up for me and it's really, really busy. But then Monday through Wednesday, I try to get everything real life Deonna done.
That's insane. And then, like, I remember that you had told me, like, obviously you're doing your college stuff and all of that. And then right now when you said it, it was this moment of, oh my God, that's right. She's still doing this. Like, that is insane. Like, I can't even like fathom adding that on top of all the responsibilities that you already do have. So Deanna, let's get into everything that you have been doing with Mickey James, because obviously we just had Hard to Kill, history making. You guys, for the first time ever, we had the Impact Knockouts Championship defended on a main event of a pay-per-view on Impact Wrestling. So obviously it was a big deal. Texas Deathmatch. I want to get into everything that you've done with Mickey James, because we already know what an icon Mickey James is, everything that she has done in the business of wrestling. And you guys, you know, your match at Bound for Glory, you know, the Barnyard Fight, all the promos, the Texas Death Match, everything that you guys have done has really kind of made you guys really a forefront in, you know, women's storytelling and what we've been seeing in wrestling. So I do want to ask you, what was your experience like, or what has your experience been like working with somebody like Mickey James?
It's a learning curve for sure, because everything that Mickey and I have done, this is my first time doing something like that. But obviously Mickey, who's been doing this for 20 years, has been in all of these amazing storylines dating back to what I watched as a kid with Trish Stratus. Like, she's been there and she's done 99.9% of the things that her and I have gotten to do. So to really just sit back and listen to how she sees all the little details and what's important to her, and what she thinks is key in storytelling and things like that, has been such a learning curve for me. But then just to work with someone like Mickey and be in the ring with someone like Mickey, who just like exudes the energy that she does, it is just such a contrast to who I am in the ring. So it's been a fun dynamic, and it's been really fun to see how the fans react to both of us, and then to do something like the first ever Knockouts main event. I mean, besides maybe Chelsea and Britt, there's no one that would have been a better fit for me and someone I've wanted to be across the ring with. I think an underlying story of the Virtuosa that hasn't necessarily been talked about is this like legend killer type thing. And, you know, I got to wrestle Jazz and retire her from Impact Wrestling. I got a chance to wrestle ODB. I, you know, talked crap to Gail Kim and about all of the you know, Knockouts of the past, and how I'm the greatest Knockouts champion ever. So I think that the underlying story to this is like the evil queen was finally defeated. And there was a lot of symbolism in her, you know, putting the table on me at the end of our match on Saturday and throwing the chairs on me and standing on me and really conquering this person who's had such a hold on the Knockouts division for so long.
And that's the thing too, is we don't normally see you in these types of matches. So I do want to ask, like, was there something that you were particularly nervous about? How did you prepare for it? Texas Death Match main event. How did you prepare?
I did a lot of studying of like different ways to incorporate weapons and things like that. I watched a lot of wrestling, which these days, like when I'm home, I just don't want to watch wrestling. So that was different, where I was like, I need to actively be studying and researching and trying to prepare myself for it. But it's definitely not something that's necessarily in my wheelhouse. And honestly, it's not, you know, I think Mickey would say this too, it's not something that's in her wheelhouse, but definitely fits her, you know, hardcore country style a little bit more. And I think that for me, it's hard to get away from the pretty wrestling, because I love the technical wrestling side. And when things aren't smooth and pretty and transition nice, it's hard for me to accept them. And with this, it was meant to be a war. It was meant to be gritty, and not, we weren't meant to have the pretty wrestling. It was a fight, and we were, you know, I'm going to kill you or you're going to kill me for this Knockouts Championship. So it was more preparing myself of like, I might not think this is, you know, a 5-star match for what Deonna Purrazzo loves, but at the end of the day, we're telling the story that will justify what we've done up until this point.
100%. It goes perfectly with everything that you guys have been doing. So you mentioned that you were watching a lot of wrestling. Was there anybody in particular that you were studying or anything that you were watching just to kind of get, you know, some ideas and whatnot?
I really loved watching Brett and Austin from WrestleMania 13, and you know, we stole some spots from that, and I just tried to like watch some of the old school Texas Death matches. But you know, wrestling, it has evolved so much from those days that you know, they could get a back elbow for a pin and then a two count, where not necessarily as believable in today's wrestling. So there wasn't a ton of Texas Deathmatch studying that I could do, but I just tried to watch some, like, I Quit matches. You know, I watched John Cena and JBL. I think it was maybe Judgment Day or something like that from back in the day where Cena's got, like, the crimson mask on. I watched the bull rope match between Eddie and JBL, just to try to get different creative spots.
That's so awesome. And I think Brett and Austin was definitely a great way to go, obviously. One of the things that Impact is doing is that they have multiple programs for the women, multiple different stories being told, whether it's the main card or, you know, beneath that or, you know, just the tag titles, just a bunch of different stuff, right? So I do want to ask, in terms of input for your program with Mickie James, how much input did you and Mickie have into the creative of it all?
We had a ton. And I think what makes Impact special is that, you know, we get creative maybe a day or two before we go to TV. And everyone is just such an open book that, you know, even going back to Slammiversary, where Mickie and I had our first bit of physicality, and I knew we were going to wrestle down the line at some point. So my concern was, is like, okay, we don't know when we're wrestling, but we're going to start off with physicality. So is that going to limit what we're doing later? Is it too long of storytelling to start that way? Like, they are so okay with you questioning and throwing out there, like, this is how I'm feeling and I'm not sure. And of course they're going to try to sell you on, well, this is why we're doing it that way. And 9 times out of 10, I'm like, I totally get where you're coming from. And I was wrong. Yeah. But we get so much input in the way we wanted to, you know, do that physicality, or even if we didn't and we came up with something better. The fight on her farm, we had all the input for what we wanted to do. So Impact is so great with just having this open door policy where you feel like your opinion really matters and is valued. And, you know, if you come up with something better than they wrote, they're more than willing to tweak it and change it to make everyone happy.
And that was so brutal too, that fight at her barn, like her farm, like it was brutal. Like, I was watching that and I was seeing how you guys were doing it, and I was just like, my God. And it was funny because there's this one little tiny thing that I noticed, and I feel like being a girl, I feel like girls would pick up on this, is that you were wearing like a bodysuit, right? Like the ones that click underneath. And trust me, like, you know, I wear those too, obviously. Uh-huh. So when I saw that at one point, it completely undid. I was like, man, I was like, they really had to go in there and like for that to actually happen to her, like, that's brutal.
Yeah, it was. And you know what, like, I didn't even realize, like, I'm wearing white and light jeans to a farm, and like, I had white little Converse sneakers on, and everyone all day made fun of me, like, yeah, the Jersey girl would be wearing white to the farm, like. And I was like, I didn't even make that a character choice, but I guess it's a character choice.
I love it. It's little things of like who you are, you know, outside of Virtuosa. So that's really, really awesome. So let's go ahead. And also, there's one thing that we do need to touch on too, because heading into your Texas Deathmatch match, there was a lot of buzz, you know, heading into that. There was a major announcement made of Mickie James heading into the Royal Rumble, being announced as an entrant, as the current Knockouts champion. So I do want to ask you, you know, what was your reaction to that? And how do you think that elevates or changes the wrestling game?
I was equally as surprised, I think, as the entire wrestling world. I didn't know that that was going to happen. And I actually just got to my hotel room in Dallas, and Steve put on SmackDown, and there was that announcement. And I was like, interesting. Okay. Because I think, you know, WWE, it has kind of a closed door policy with playing with others. And to hear that, I think, was like the first time in history that they maybe acknowledged other companies like that. So, and especially its Impact. So I feel like we don't get all the credit that we're deserved, and people kind of, you know, let things that happened in the past reflect their opinions on what we're doing now. And it was kind of like a really big thing for us. And I think especially, you know, I was a bit concerned that I had found out we were going to be the main event Monday, and now it's Friday and this is being announced and we're not announcing it. Are people going to think we're just getting to be the main event because of this? And that was kind of my first initial thoughts, was like, oh, I really hope they, you know, who's ever tuning in, not as an Impact fan, does some research and sees the story we're telling and sees why we're in a Texas Deathmatch, and what we've evolved to get to this point, that we're warranted the main event, that we deserve the main event, not just because we're women, but because the story we've been telling warranted that spot. But overall, I think that it put a ton more eyes on Hard to Kill, a ton more eyes on Mickey and I's match. And I mean, that's all you could ask for, right?
100%. And I'm so glad that you brought that up too, the fact that like we're not in this position, or we weren't just in that position because we were women, but it's like that is the world title for the women's division. This is the hottest story that was being told on the Impact brand. And then you add the, you know, the additional layers of, you know, who you are, what you mean to Impact, and who Mickey is and what she means to Impact. So I do like that you obviously, you know, brought that up. And also, like you mentioned, you know, sometimes, you know, people kind of judging, you know, the past Impact and, you know, with the current Impact right now. And I do feel like a lot of the credit of, you know, the changes that we've been seeing are really, you know, due to Scott D'Amore. He's really done a lot of positive change for Impact Wrestling. You're seeing people, you know, wrestlers go into Impact, people that want to work for Impact. So I kind of do want to get your, you know, kind of like a little bit of your brief thoughts on how you feel about that in terms of like how he has been able to really turn around the Impact product.
Yeah, gosh, you know, I give Scott a lot of crap on social media, but I really do love him and appreciate, I mean, everything he's done for my career. He took a chance on me almost 2 years ago and just said, like, we'll see what happens. And if you like it and we like you and this is a good relationship, then we'll keep being in a relationship. And if not, we'll break up. I appreciate his way of looking at that and what we were going to do with me. But I think that he's created this unique landscape with an Impact where it's really become a landing zone for a lot of people. And unfortunately, that's just the way the world has been and the way the rest of the wrestling world has been over the last 2 years. But for people to see an opportunity to come into Impact Wrestling and, yeah, be paid to be wrestling and making money during the pandemic, but also as a way to reestablish themselves or show the world for the first time what they're able to do, like I was. The fact that he's been able to, like, cultivate that kind of environment and then, you know, build an entire, you know, not an entire new roster, I guess, but really solidify the roster with all these different people from all these different places, and then make the business decisions and the company decisions with who we're going to work with. I mean, I know Impact was the hub of the Forbidden Door, and we didn't coin Forbidden Door, but I really think that we were the place that most of that interaction took place, whether it was with Kenny Omega coming in and being the Impact World Champion, or our consistent work with New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, I got to headline NWA, we're bringing in all these new women. I just think that he really has been able to capitalize on the way the world is over the last 2 years and create this entire new vision for Impact that is so much for the better.
100%. Yes, honestly, completely agree with everything that you just said. Speaking of the Forbidden Door, we obviously have to talk about your upcoming match on Thursday on Impact on Axis. You are defending your Reina de Reinas championship against Roxy, who's defending her Ring of Honor world title. So I do want to ask, you know, title for title, what would it mean to you to become Ring of Honor Women's World Champion?
Absolutely everything to me. Like, I was super emotional when we finally were able to solidify me going to Final Battle, because Ring of Honor and I have been trying to work together in some capacity for the entire time I've been contracted to Impact. You know, obviously, I have to go through Impact and they have to give the okay, but for them to finally agree on terms and be like, we're doing it, I was so thrilled, because Ring of Honor is kind of like where I consider my home to be. It's really where, you know, I got my first like start and first exposure to like the wrestling world, outside of like independence, and then outside of doing enhancement talent for WWE. So I just feel like I owe them so much, and it's a really full circle feeling for me to be competing for the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship, because I fought so hard for that thing to be even a figment of someone's imagination at Ring of Honor, and that dates all the way back to 2015. So I love Roxy. I think she's incredible in so many ways. I feel like I'm looking at in the mirror at me 6 years ago. So I look so much forward to wrestling her. But then also I look forward to being the Ring of Honor World Women's Champion.
That's just like, it's just like incredible, like incredible. Like, it's so crazy to like even think like everything that has been happening with Ring of Honor. Obviously at Hard to Kill, we saw the you know, the men's championship, the Ring of Honor world title be defended on the Impact show. So it's like, it's just kind of crazy to kind of see everything that has sort of been happening. Now, I know we have a few minutes left, so my final question, I kind of wanted to obviously get into Impact Wrestling going back on tour. Obviously you got, you know, new crowds, new venues, a new level of freshness added to the aspect of touring. So I want to ask you, as a performer, you know, what are you most looking forward to? And, you know, kind of give us a little bit of a rundown on the actual tour itself.
So we are in Fort Lauderdale right now, but we're here next weekend for two TV tapings for Access TV. Jay White is going to be here. It was just announced. So that's awesome. I mean, I'll be here. Mickey will be here. Moose is with me here right now, but he'll be here. And then we're kind of on the road to Rebellion. So Rebellion is going to be in Poughkeepsie. And I'm just excited to get back to the Northeast. I think there's no fans like the East Coast fans. Obviously, being from Jersey, that kind of area is my home. That's really where I started on the independent scene. So I'm excited to go back and be in Poughkeepsie. We're going to be in Philadelphia in March. So yeah, the touring is what's fun, right? And we haven't been able to do that for so long. We were kind of stuck in Nashville for the majority of the time that I've been with Impact. So it's really exciting for me to be able to see how fans perceive me elsewhere as this new Deonna, this face of Impact Wrestling, Deonna.
I love it. I love it. Well, Deonna, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I really appreciate it, kind of circling back and touching on everything that you have been doing within the, you know, the last year, I think, that we've talked, or something around that time frame. Before we go, please feel free to let the people know where they can find you. Please feel free to plug in anything you'd like to plug in.
Yeah, everyone can find me at Deonna Perrazzo on Twitter and on Instagram. The t-shirt I was wearing in my match, in our Texas Death Match, is available on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Oh, that is so awesome. All right, perfect. I'm going to go ahead and link all of that in the description box. You guys can go and follow Deonna. Check out the t-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees and all of that. Other than that, I'm Denise Salcedo. This is Deonna Perrazzo. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, everyone.